So the Magi. Once I heard an even better name for them. Pagan space wizards. Pagan because they are coming from far away, pagan Gentile nations. Space because that's what they do. They study the heavens, the stars, space. And magi is just another word for magician. We're talking about magic, so wizards. Pagan space wizards. Gives a new spin on them, right? We're going to look at the Magi today, who they are, and their importance to the Christmas story. The Magi are indeed weird characters. They're the least expected characters of our Christmas story. We think we know them, right? Because we see them in our, well, not in this manger scene, but in other nativity scenes and manger scenes, we see them. We imagine how they looked and how they presented themselves. But I think if we look to see who they really are, what they're really about, I think it makes the Christmas story so much more interesting and amazing. So the story we heard already from Amy is that Jesus is born. And sometime later, the star appears. And this star was compelling enough that it sent the Magi on a journey. And they knew it was time that a king was supposed to be arriving. And they travel for some time, and they find a king. It just happens to be the wrong king. They find King Herod, right? They went to the logical place to find a king. They go to Jerusalem, but they find the Roman stool pigeon king, Herod. The king who is despised by his people, the king who is known to be deranged and violent and insecure. And they tell Herod, I mean, just pause and think about this. They come to Herod and say to a king, where is the king, right? Where is the new king? Where is the other king? Yeah. And they tell Herod what they've seen, and they ask, where is this king? And so Herod pulls aside his Bible scholars, his Bible nerds, right, and asks them, a king? Where? Is it true? Who is it? And they tell him, Bethlehem, right, is where you'll find him. That's Micah chapter 5. And so he goes back and talks to the Magi, most likely through gritted teeth, right? It's amazing news, right? Who wouldn't be excited about a new king? Find him so that I too can worship him. So they leave, they see the star again, and that star leads them to the true king, Jesus. And they present their gifts, their three gifts, and before they leave, they are warned, do not go back the way you came. And Herod, having figured this out, has his meltdown and has the babies in Bethlehem slaughtered. Joseph is warned. The family leaves for Egypt. That's Matthew chapter 2. So who are these Magi? They're a mixture of astronomers and astrologers, right? They know the stars very well. They know the planets. They know the heavens. They know there's a perfect order and they move in a certain way. Yet they also believe there's something cosmic, some power behind it that can guide them and tell them something about the future or things that will come to be. And they saw a star, and for them it was a big enough deal to pack up, take a long journey to go find something. Now this is an ancient group of people. They're not amateurs. They're not a middle school astronomy club, right? These people have had hundreds, perhaps thousands of years of charts and data that helps them navigate what's happening up there. They were experts in their field. They knew that star doesn't belong. That star is different. This star is special. Now, to the average person who doesn't know their stars and constellations, they might not even realize there was an extra star up there or a new star or a special star. But for them who were experts, it was glaring and obvious and outstanding, big enough deal to do something. It's like if you're an expert in car mechanics, you could maybe just look under the car or look under the hood and see visually what's wrong, where someone who's not an expert may look at the exact same thing and not realize anything's wrong. Or I was just at the eye doctor and I got to have a ultrasound of my eyeball, and I got to see the picture of the inside of my eyeball. Now me, not medically trained, I could look at that and not tell if it's a healthy eyeball or a non-healthy one. But the doctor who's trained can look at it and say what's wrong or what's good about it. It's the same for them. They were experts in their field. They saw a star and knew it was different and special. These magi, not necessarily all magi, these magi also knew their scriptures, at least a little bit. They knew what the star was about. They knew the biblical significance of the star. Maybe they knew Micah 5 about Bethlehem, but maybe they didn't know where Bethlehem was. No street signs or road signs for them. Maybe they knew Numbers chapter 24, which was Balaam's prophecy back in the book of Numbers. Balaam says, I see someone, the Messiah, far away still, not yet, not now, but a star shall come out of Judah, and from that will arise a king. We heard from Isaiah. There's multiple passages in Isaiah that talk about these faraway people coming to bring tribute to the future Messiah. People who are tall and smooth and far away, and they thought, well, I'm tall enough, I'm smooth enough, maybe it's me, right? Camels coming from afar to bring their gold and their incense. So their knowledge of the stars, the heavens, plus their knowledge, little knowledge of scripture, they put it together, they did the math and said, the king must be here. Maybe after seeing Isaiah and seeing themselves in the passages, maybe they felt they had a role to play. It's time for us to go and play our part. Now these magi are from the east, we don't know exactly, but we're assuming somewhere like Babylon or Persia. These are people who are historically the enemies of Israel. These are the people who have caused Israel a lot of heartache and harm over the years. And if you remember your Old Testament, when Israel's in exile in Babylon, God raises up someone in the courts of Babylon, God's own person, Daniel. And Daniel is so respected that the king of Babylon gives him a new title. He shall be the chief of the Magi. And Daniel's made the chief of the Magi. And we assume he has served that role for many, many years. And I believe that Daniel probably left a huge impression upon the Magi. I don't imagine Daniel squandering his time there with all that influence he had. I imagine him using it and saying, hey, you Magi who look for signs in the heavens, let's look at it for scripture. Let's look at real prophecy from scripture. Teaching them scripture, teaching them about the future Messiah and the signs involved. Now, Daniel's 400 years before the Christmas story, and maybe you were seeing some of the ripple effects playing out with the appearance of these magi. Last thing about magi is that there are many different kinds of magi of the ancient world. They're your parlor magicians, your tricksters, your sellers of spells and charms, and then there's the high magi, the ones high up in the royal courts, the advisors of kings. And we assume that these magi are those ones because what do they bring? Very wealthy gifts, gifts of abundance, gifts that show that they are high up. In fact, sometimes we call them magi, wise men, or the three kings, right? Because they appear very wealthy and powerful. These magi were that special ancient group who had their hand on the pulse of politics and ancient wisdom. They played important roles in the kingdoms. We see them in the book of Exodus in Egypt. We see them in Babylon. We see them in Persia. Now, these magi are also involved in what we would consider very dark things, right? They're involved in the worship of the false gods. They're involved in the sacrifices to false gods and the prayers of the false gods. Very, very pagan, and what we might even go a step further and say satanic kind of practices. Now, you can imagine in your head someone who is of that kind, satanic, and we all have our picture of what that looks like. Maybe imagining that with the Magi as well. The very last people you would expect at the manger. Now, Magi thought that only they had the ears of the gods. Only the gods listened to them. Only they spoke and communed with the gods. They practiced divination and forecasted the future. They believed that the gods would only appear in physical form to them, which is interesting because they're about to meet God in the flesh. They are very important court officials. They advise the kings on behalf of the gods. And with that power comes a lot of temptation to misuse that power. We can see outside the Bible in history that they were people of great esteem and ambition and power. In northern Iran, there's this mountain. There's this big inscription on the mountain. It's a picture of a piece of history of Persia where there was Magi trying to overthrow the king. They felt in parts of history they were above the law because they only served the gods. They were above kings. So maybe this gives you a different picture of who these characters may be. So why is it important that they're in their Christmas story? Because if this is indeed their reputation, if they are what they would consider the highest of the high people, they're above the kings, they're ambitious, they're powerful, then to have these people come and bow down to a baby is a huge affirmation of who Jesus is. To see the most ambitious, power-hungry people worship a child is a magnificent testimony. There may be people on the fence saying, I don't know if this child is special. I don't know if this child is the Christ, the Messiah, but to see those people acknowledge it is very powerful. To have these people, these Magi, bow down to Jesus, this child must indeed be special. He must indeed be a king, perhaps the King of Kings. Secondly, to have these Magi show up, begins to show. We know, because we've read the rest of Scripture, that Jesus is for all nations, but we're getting to see here a glimpse of that, right? Jesus is for all nations. God promised to Abraham way back in Genesis that there would be a child from you, a seed from you, and through that seed, all nations would be blessed. So who shows up at the manger? The unexpected outsider. The Gentile foreigner. This is where all history was bending towards. This is what all heaven and nature are singing about. So even though the Magi are weird, in fact, they could be very strange people. They don't speak the church lingo. They don't know the church motions. It's them who show up. It's them who realize the truth. It's them who I believe had some kind of faith that moved them to action, where Herod and Caiaphas and the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who knew better, those who were your church people, missed it. But that really weird outsider, they got it. These Magi are a very fascinating group. They predate the Christmas story by thousands of years. And through those thousands of years, they were building up all this wisdom, all this knowledge. And all of that seeking and all of that searching and all of that yearning led to what? A baby. And all this high and mighty ambition that they were reaching for all leads to a humble child. But they knew, and hopefully we know, that child, that baby, is the salvation of the world. It's the light, life of the world. And I think the Magi got it. And so the question for us is, do we get it like they do? That everything must bow down to this child. Everything must bow to it. Because this child is greater than anything I could have in this world. This child is greater than any wisdom I could gain, any power I could hold on to, any ambition or dream I'm yearning for, because this child is the Savior of the world. And that concludes our Christmas season with that message. So let's rise as we sing "He is Exalted." We'll sing through it twice, and then we'll have our offering.
Just as the wise men brought gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh to worship the king, it's our opportunity to worship as well with our tithes and offerings. If the ushers will come forward, please.
Thank you.
Lord our Father, you have been so faithful through the past years. We thank you for what we've been able to offer unto you. Lord, we pray that you would bless it and fill our coming days, that this church may be a light to the community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn will be an insert, "We Fall Down." And after the spoken benediction, our benediction song will be hymn number 567, "Another Year Is Dawning." So we sing "We Fall Down," which can be found in the bulletins or up on the screen. We thank our God for the last year behind us, and we ask for his guidance and love going forward. May God bless you in this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.